So good morning and welcome to the Asian American and Asian Research Institute. I'm Anthony Wong, Program Coordinator of the Institute. Thank you for joining us in person and online for today's special presentation on career paths and insurance for college students. With us today are Pamela S. Corey, Vice President, National Marketing Manager at Seneca Insurance Company, Cal Matthews, Director of Sales and Distribution of Middle and Large Commercial at Hartford Insurance Company, and Teresa Chan, Director of Master of Professional Studies in Insurance Management at Columbia University, to discuss the current landscape and also their own experiences in the insurance industry. And please welcome Pam, Kyle, and Teresa. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. My name is Pamela Corey. A little bit about me. I run sales and marketing for Seneca Insurance. Prior to that, I was a risk management underwriter, and prior to that, I was an analyst doing ceded treaty reinsurance. Both of those roles were for AIG. And what I've found during my time and my career is that most people do not go to school to study insurance. Most people fall into insurance. And so my favorite question over the years has become, what was your major in college, right? So for everybody out there, I was a biology pre-med major. And the way I got into insurance was I was running an accounts receivable department for a small chain of boutique hotels. And 9/11 happened and the industry collapsed and I wasn't happy in doing what I was doing. And I was out and someone said, you should go work for AIG. And I said, AIG, that big company? At the time, it was $1 trillion in asset corporation. I said, they're never even going to read my resume. And I was told, no, you're an AIG-er. Give me the resume and let me put it in. And sure enough, I got the job because of my accounting background. The person who interviewed me said, I can't teach accounting. I can teach anybody insurance and reinsurance. So I need someone who can speak to the accounting department and I'll teach her the rest.
Perfect.
Right? And then I showed up for my first day and they came over and they dropped a whole pile of reinsurance contracts on my desk and I went home and I cried. Because I was like, oh God, what did I get myself into? But no, they made sure I learned it and I loved it. And it's been an amazing career and I've met amazing people like my two counterparts sitting next to me, both Kyle and Teresa. And so I always love to tell people, please tell me what you love. Because I can tell you where you can do it in insurance. I know Kyle and I both host high school students where we put them through a day in the life of insurance. And I've had students say to me, what they love is basketball. And then I like to say, well, did you know there's something called a bad boy clause in an MBA contract? Which means if you get caught doing something that defames the NBA, they can cancel your contract and you lose all that money. What does that mean? Well, I like to bring up poor Khloe Kardashian. Everybody knows her ex-husband, right? He ended up in a hospital fighting for his life because of drug use in a precarious situation. He violated the bad boy clause in his contract. That's insurable. There are actually people in London, because I used to send everybody to London for that, that actually write that. They cover the bad boy clause. I really love music. Well, guys, J-Lo's behind is insured. It's a trademark. It's insured out of London again. My son went to school for food science and nutrition. So when you talk about ingredients and how they go together into a product, right? And what does that reaction look like? Well, all of those healthcare products and pharmaceuticals have to be covered by insurance. If you get sick, if you have an adverse reaction and end up in a hospital, if the paprika coming, you know, out of the Middle East gets contaminated with lead, that all has to get covered. Or if the shipment doesn't make it here because of a war, that's political risk, and that has to be covered. But maybe that's not your thing, right? Maybe you love math. Well, someone's got to analyze the numbers and come up with the rates, right? That's what the actuaries do. So no matter what you love and what your passion is, believe it or not, there's some place you're going to do it in insurance. So with that, aside from that, yeah, we are a very relationship-based industry. I literally saw Kyle at an event and said, hey, guess what I'm doing? You want to join me? And he was like, sure. And Teresa says yes to everything I ask. She's amazing. And it's because we know each other and we like each other and we like working together. And so that's kind of how our industry works. And so I'm going to turn it over to Kyle, who's going to talk about some current events and some of those relationship skills. And then we'll take it from there.
Well, first I want to introduce myself too. So Kyle Matthews, the director of sales and distribution at The Hartford. And kind of to what Pam was talking about, just piggybacking off of that, this is a very service-oriented industry, right? So if service, if giving back to people and helping people when they most need it is something that's important to you, this is the type of industry that you want to be a part of, right? From philanthropy to actually being there at the claim, at the point of claims, when claims happen, and being able to help people get back on their feet, right? Being an advocate in our communities to help educate people about how insurance can be used as a financial product to get them out of that situation they may be in or to generate wealth. So just really want to talk about the soft skills and the technical background. So if you can see the board, if you can see our screen here, if you see any of these soft skills on the right side and any of these resonate with you as things that you consider your superpowers or things that you are most aligned with, right? When I think about creativity, right? I know there are a lot of, this is the age of the influencer, right? So when I think about creativity, it's in short demand and it's in high demand and sometimes in short supply, right? So I think about active listening, something else that is not everybody is great at, right? Being able to truly listen without thinking about what their response is going to be. Because to Pam's point, this is a relationship business. And a lot about relationships is understanding what somebody is trying to convey, being able to take that in and then respond in a really impactful and intentional way. And another one just to kind of put out there is time management. So I'm assuming most of this crowd is high school or college folks, right? So think about time management as something that will never go away, right? You either have to manage your desk, you'll either have to manage your personal life, right? So when you think about time management, if that's not a strong suit or strong skill for you, that is something that you should try to think about. How can you incorporate better time management as a part of your day-to-day? Because that's how you'll be successful. Pam got into a lot of the kind of the nuances around what industries and what interests you may have that align to certain products, right? So the last one I think was thinking really about product recall, right? If somebody gets sick, there is insurance to be triggered. If that company that's producing something that's either ingested or put on the skin or put on your body, that somebody can be, you know, compensated for if there's an adverse reaction. So just kind of want to point you to, if you do have, if you have a major, if you're undecided, if you're thinking about a major, what kind of majors can actually translate to the insurance industry. So just to name a few, and I'll start with the one I was, right? So I'm a criminal justice and legal studies major by background. That's what I studied at Fairleigh Dickinson University. And my intent was to become a lawyer. And I actually, before I got into insurance, started off as a paralegal. And I was working criminal defense in downtown Brooklyn. And for me, the year and change I did that work, it was both rewarding and a little bit traumatic because I got to see people that looked like me as a kind of a part and parcel of a system that I really felt I couldn't have an impact at that level, right? But again, it was really about service, right? How can I help and be there for these folks? So insurance, I like to say I was invited into insurance. So I'm trying to change the narrative around falling into insurance, but I was extended an opportunity and invited to join this great industry. And that really spoke to how I like to help people, how I can service the greater part of the community, the greater part of our really the industries that stand up the economy. And it's ended up, you know, becoming a really great and rewarding career. Now more than a decade plus I've been in it. So my background is in underwriting. But again, having a criminal justice background, thinking about the transferable skill sets from investigating, research, navigating relationships, being able to understand nuances, being able to talk about the differentiation of different products or different opportunities. All these things that you're learning in your majors, whether it be psychology, whether it be criminal justice or business, right? Some of the more traditional backgrounds that some insurance folks come from, there is space here in this industry for you. So any comments on there before I go forward to some recent events?
I am going to steal invited. I like it.
Cool, good. It's mine now. We should. And I invite you all, if you are not already thinking about a career in insurance, we invite you to this industry because there is plenty of space and there's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we're doing here. I think I'll go through a little bit of my background because I think it kind of closes the loop on, sure, you know, being invited to the insurance, absolutely, industry. My name is Teresa Chan. I am the director of the Masters of Insurance Management at Columbia University. And I think Pam invited me to join this conversation because I have a very long and circuit, long because I'm older, a long and circuitous path to where I am now. I was an engineer as an undergraduate, and my dream was to go to law school. You know, like yours, my dream was to go to law school. So I negotiated with my parents. I guess I started early. And I said, if I complete 4 years of engineering school, then you're going to pay for law school. So that's exactly what happened. So I went into law school right after undergraduate. And, you know, when I was in law school, I thought I wanted to be a litigator. I thought all of these things that I wanted to do because I also wanted to serve the community. I also wanted to be an advocate. And, you know, after, you know, working, when I graduated, it was a very, very bad market. And I had the opportunity to actually to work with a reinsurance broker, a small reinsurance broker for AIG, drafting contracts. So it was still in my wheelhouse. It still took advantage of my skills from law school. And, you know, and I did that for a few years. I stayed at AIG, and I started the policy drafting unit in the legal department. Wow. So I've been drafting policies for like close to 30 years. But the really interesting thing about it, you might think, oh, drafting policy is kind of boring, right? There is absolutely nothing boring about the insurance industry because one of the things that I like to point out is that there is nothing in your life, nothing that you see, that you feel, that you touch, that you use, that isn't impacted by insurance. And so for me, building insurance policies was not about just protecting people when something bad happens. Building insurance policies is about enabling business, enabling the things that we talk about, that we use, that we see to happen. So a lot of things that you know, Kyle and Pamela are involved in, you know, we talk about claims. Mm-hmm. But I also worked on the flip side, and after spending 6 years in the legal department drafting policies and working on some, you know, like corporate legal sections within the company, I went to a group called Corporate Product Development. And all we did was brainstorm new products and services that we felt the world could use. And then we pitched them to members of the underwriting community, you know, in the company to say, number one, this is a need that we need to fill. See, so it's very proactive. The business is very proactive because we're always looking for something new or a space that we can fill, a gap that we can fill. And I did that for 5 years. And while I was doing that, I was thinking about ideas for new businesses. And after 5 years of product development, I started a new business development group to work with Native American tribes. Native American tribes are probably some of the hardest customers you will ever work with, you know, in terms of building trust, because, you know, you mentioned relationship.
Right.
Relationship building in the Native American world is very difficult for obvious reasons. Right. But it trained me to really, again, listen better, hear what it really is that they need. And it's not about selling a policy to them. It's what are you looking for in your future? What do you want to do for future generations? Right. And how are you going to get there? And how can we step in to help you build that? So if you want to start a new business, we can come in as an insurance company, and we were helping them apply for grants from the government, so that they could get money to start new businesses. And then after we built the new businesses, then we helped them with the insurance in order to protect those businesses. So I wanted to point that out, that everything that we do is in insurance is not just about bad things that happen, it's about making good things happen. The bridges that you see would not exist without an insurance company standing behind a multi-billion dollar project, right? The installation of renewable energy technology would not happen without insurance companies standing behind it and saying, if anything happens, if that equipment fails, we are going to stand behind the performance of that equipment.
Gotcha.
So I want the audience to think really broadly about what insurance is. And, you know, and I guess to kind of to end my piece of this, and I'm sorry I'm taking so much time,
but
after I worked with the Native Americans, one of the things that they had on their lands and that they could were allowed to capitalize on was that they couldn't own the lands, but they could do anything they wanted on those lands to sustain themselves. And many of them sat on some of the richest natural resources in the United States. So what we did was we engaged our energy division and we said, how can we help the Native Americans get this stuff out of the ground so that they can make money for their seven generation fund, which is their end game. And so, you know, and in that path, you know, we worked with them, we would help them to build the businesses, and then I was asked to help create a new product to help facilitate the financing of renewable and alternative energy projects, turning garbage into fuel, you know, building solar building solar arrays, putting up wind farms, turning tires that you see on the side of the road back into fuel. So I wanted to kind of end that way, and why I ended up in education, because I wanted to take this experience and inspire our students and people like you to think about insurance in a very different way. So that's the reason why I'm here. No, and I'm also long-winded.
I love that. And so a couple nuggets I took out, which I hope our audience is taking note of, is purpose, right? Mm-hmm. This is an industry, if you don't have purpose, you will find it. You will find some space to add value, and you are emboldened to add that value, right? So when I think about product development, as you see, we're a diverse, you know, panelist group right here, right? So we all come from different walks of life, different backgrounds, with different perspectives. So that diversity in perspectives will help us, enable us to think of nuances and products and offerings that can serve our community specifically, right? So when you mentioned Native Americans, I mean, you got to think about whoever you are on the camera in the room, think about your own experiences, your own neighborhoods, the culture you come from. What needs are there? What gaps may need to be filled? And how can you leverage a career in insurance to meet those needs, right? So thank you, Pam. I mean, Teresa, that was great. It definitely takes a kind of a different lens on the important work that we do here and the opportunity we have to actually develop products and impact our community. So I love that. If I can, I'll leave this up on the board for maybe like 5 more seconds for folks in the room and for folks online. Pick out your 3 top soft skills. Write them down. And talk to some people that you trust and you know, and ask them, hey, do I show up this way? This is what resonates with me. Do I show up this way? How can I leverage this to get into a career in insurance? And if you want help with that, you have us as panelists. I'm volunteering all 3 of us to be available to have those conversations at that next level. And if you're in any of the majors on the left side of the house, this is not limited. These majors are not limited to the opportunities, but we just really wanted to show you a myriad of opportunities, whether you're in risk control with an engineering background, whether you're in SIU units or a special investigative unit on the claim side, or underwriting or operations. The gamut is wide open. It's really about what your purpose for, where you feel like you can add value. With that being said, let's get into some some recent world events. So I have a couple of pictures of some recent things that have happened, and just as I'm thinking about it, CrowdStrike. Is anybody remember what happened a couple of weeks ago with CrowdStrike? Right. So that was a really major event that shut down our airline systems, some of our computers at work and things like that, maybe some of our phones, and disrupted our life, right? This is what insurance is really for, right? The disruption. Maybe not the grand scale of helping everybody, because all of us were kind of impacted in some way or shape or form with CrowdStrike, right? But that these events or these catastrophes or these incidents are that happen, insurance, to Teresa's point, is kind of the back step for that, right? We are the people who are actually saying, hey, based on the contracts written by our legal team, based on the policies you have agreed to, we will step in if something happens. So a lot of companies, a lot of organizations are getting cyber insurance and upping their limits to make sure that they have the available monies available to get themselves back up to snuff if something like that could happen. When I think about, even if I kind of look at this AI, right, where you have the robots and this word AI in the middle, AI is not going anywhere. It's really been involved and ingrained in our society for a long time, but we're now seeing that it start to pick up. I was just watching a video, so Mark Zuckerberg just kind of announced the next level of Meta glasses, right? So I literally got my pair this summer and have been trying to find different ways to leverage the generative AI and how I daily work and how I use it in my life, right? Whether that's getting suggestions in restaurants, coming up with prompts to write emails, finding out information about things around me. So I want you to think about, how can you think about leveraging AI in your daily lives, and how AI is going to be the next new wave of what's impacting our industry. So if you haven't heard of it, data science is a space. We need more folks focused in data science, right? Prompt engineering. So coming up with really clever prompts or specific prompts to help train the AI. because AI will continue to develop based on the data that goes into it. Again, a lens on diversity. How can your diverse perspective inform these AI models that may be working off outdated information or information from only certain groups of people? I also want to draw your attention to the bridge in Maryland. Really tragic incident that happened. And, you know, it, this kind of what Patricia was talking about, these bridges don't get built without insurance, right? But, and we do it, we build them and then we insure them for the lifespan that they are actually in existence, right? But when it comes to actually maintaining them, that typically is on the companies and on the institutions that run these bridges and that kind of own and operate these things, right? So insurance companies leverage our risk engineers to do evaluations on how structurally sound is this, right? What may need to be repaired or maintained to keep that bridge in kind of going and things like that, right? Something was clearly missed, not to, you know, point fingers, obviously, but a lot of policies were triggered, right? So auto policies from everybody that kind of had their car damaged. Marine, right? So think about everybody on the water that day. The actual cargo that was on some of those boats that hit the bridge, right? Think about all of the different, the liability of the people, the loss of life, right? So insurance really touches every aspect from the cloth in your clothing to the material that you put into your, you know, your ovens or what have you, to what goes into your hair, to the glasses, to the eye, to everything that has existence in our society has some type of insurable value, right? And when you see these type of events that trigger multiple policies, it makes you think, one, that's really tragic, but wow, the opportunity to really find a lane and say, hey, this makes me kind of curious. This is something I'm interested in. I would love to see how that works. I personally love animals. So I was thinking about some of the environmental impact on the marine life, right, in that space, right? So the gamut runs really far and wide. Just kind of wanted to give you guys some perspective on some just events, some kind of world happenings that insurance is engraved to. So
if I could jump in.
Please, Pat.
So I love this point because at the end of the day, that's what we do. When you're on the underwriting side, when you're the carrier, we're selling a promise. We're selling the promise to be there in the event that something goes wrong. And we hope that it's not. So like when I was trained to underwrite, I was given accounts, I was given risks to look at, and I was got told, you're the owner of this business. Look at your business. What do you think could go wrong? And what do you need to protect? Now you're the underwriter. What do you think you could go wrong? And what do you think it's going to cost? Right? So when Kyle turns around and says, everything that's in your life and everything you touch, and he talked about animals and the impact to wildlife, right? So environmental insurance, actually, it's like one of my favorite products. I don't know why. Maybe it's a little bit weird. But like you try to sell a pollution policy to a milk company and they go, I sell milk. What do I need pollution for? Because when the milk is in the truck and the truck crashes on a bridge and the milk goes into the water, it creates a zero oxygen situation. And now everything in that river will die. Everybody that comes in contact with that water after everything dies will get sick. Right? People don't think about that. He talked about, the bridge situation. I used to bid on bridge jobs all the time. So you get the state of New York who gets a grant from the federal government and they decide they're going to redo the Gulfles Bridge. Once they decide that, they actually go out to all the insurance companies and say, this is how much money we have to spend and this is what we're going to build and here's the engineering plans. What do you think? Right? And the project can't start until that happens.
Right?
Those wind turbines cannot move and be installed until there's an insurance contract. The oil can't be pulled out of the ground. It's basically everything and anything that touches your life has to be insured in some way to make sure that you're protected. Right? And so these events, very, very tragic, there's a whole bunch of insurance companies and a whole bunch of policies behind the scene to help everybody here pick up the pieces. And sometimes it's the most unfortunate, like loss of life and everything else, right? Like we can't do much for that. But we can get the bridge back together. We can get people back to work. We can get the cargo moving again. We can, you know, replace that, right? We'll make sure that there's no hole in some company's balance sheet that's so bad it's going to put it out of business, because that's what we're there for. That's what we do.
Yeah, and insurance is a financial element. That's a great thing to bring up. Do not forget that insurance is part of the whole financial services industry.
Right.
I know that many students think, oh, when I graduate, I need to go and work for a bank. You know what? Honestly, having been in the insurance industry, banks lend money. That's all they do, right? We do a lot more. And what we brought up here, I want to actually piggyback off a couple of things that you guys said. We're not just here to say what could go wrong, because we're also here to mitigate. And mitigation is a really big part of our business, right? We are clearly a business, right? We want to do things that will make the company money, right? That's what we're all about. We're not a not-for-profit. However, in doing that, we take mitigation very seriously. We take risk management very seriously. So what Pam and Kyle talk about in terms of being in there with the client to talk about their business, to understand their business, it's also part of that relationship building. Because when you understand their business, you can tell them, listen, I think you have too many chairs in this room and there are too many people sitting here and it could be a risk if something bad happens. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that maybe we reduce the number of chairs in here by 10%. And we will do that as part of our service. So, you know, so there are many different phases in an insurance product. So everything from, hey, you know, one of the recent events that's been coming up, microplastics. People are ingesting microplastics.
Cutting boards.
PFAS.
PFAS.
Right? PFAS. There are chemicals that they never break down. We don't have insurance for that yet. We're starting to look at the problems with that, because the companies that are using those elements are coming to us and saying, hey, I'm getting sued because somebody says that I have PFAS in there. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting here saying, oh, we didn't anticipate that. That wasn't something that we necessarily thought about when we wrote that environmental policy, right? Because we have to understand how big the problem is before we can step in and say, here's a solution. So, you know, so we talk about events that have taken place, but there's also that what hasn't happened yet. And it's up to us collectively, right, as a community, also in the business, to come up with the, you know, ways that we can address those things that haven't happened yet. So, you know, so my students do a lot of that. And I think that as professionals, that's what we're expected to do every day. We don't just sit with our product and say, okay, we're just going to sell this. We're constantly thinking about what could happen that hasn't happened yet.
Stay curious. I think that's the biggest like underlying right there. And I, as you were talking, Teresa, I thought about, I have been able, so coming from a criminal justice background, right, from my undergrad, and having been in this industry as long as I have, I've learned so much about so many different types of companies. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a curious person, if you like to know how things work, even just a little bit, the touching, whether you're in claims and underwriting, actuarial, you will see and be able to have the opportunity to understand how a whole slew of businesses do business, right? Because for me, it was always an underwriter, it was always about, let me let my customers worry about how to run their business. I'm going to make my concern how to protect their business, right? So if you are in, you know, if you're in entertainment, or if you're in cargo, or if you're in education, there are different exposures with each of those different industry types, right? And whether it's thinking about how many people are in the room, or it's thinking about how much weight can go on a truck, or how much material is going to be sufficient to finish a product, right, or finish a project. These are all things that you kind of have to have the dexterity to be able to think about, take notes on, and be prepared to listen and really advocate for your clients that you understand their risk, because that, at the end of the day, develops that trust and will help that relationship. You know, so kind of going back to Teresa around matching your interests and opportunities, but love for you to kind of talk to us about, you know, what's on the board here.
Yeah, I'm not going to read through the slide, but I had put this slide together for some undergraduate students. And, you know, we wanted to show them all the different types of opportunities based on your background, your interest, your skill set, right, all the things that make you happy. And, you know, I think we're speaking really passionately about what we do, because we are really passionate about the opportunities here. And we want you to be kind of passionate about it too. So I had taken the top five majors. This was for Baruch College. I'd taken their top five majors and I said, here are all of the opportunities that you could look into, you know, within your major. And, you know, I'm kind of like the poster child for somebody who started with one thing and then ended up with something, you know, completely unexpected. I never expected when I was 25 to go into education, and here I am. So, you know, so if you're a finance major, you know, I'm sorry, I can't I can't read that because I can't twist that way. But if you're a finance major, you know, insurance companies are companies like any other. We have all of these divisions in sales and marketing and distribution. It doesn't matter that we're selling something different. We are a company like any other. We are looking to be profitable. We count our dollars. We invest our dollars. One of the things that most people don't know is that insurance companies have some of the biggest asset bases in the financial world to invest. Because what are we doing? We're collecting premium. And if you think that $10 a month is going to pay your $500,000 policy, that doesn't happen.
Right.
So what we have to do is we have to take that $10 and we have to grow it as fast as possible and as much as possible, just in case you make a claim for $500,000. So don't even think, you don't even have to be thinking about the product side, right? Mm-hmm. We all represent kind of the product side. But think about all of these other things that companies, corporations have to do in order to maintain their business and sustain themselves, right? So talk about sustainability. You know, we have professionals who are in the company looking at whether or not our day-to-day activities are environmentally sustainable.
Yep.
So, you know, so don't look at insurance companies just as, oh, those people who sell policies. Look at us as corporations mm-hmm. that have every facet that you can possibly think of. So this chart, and you know, feel free, you know, we'll probably circulate all of this information to you afterwards, but look at this information and try to look at yourself and see where you might fit here. And all we ask is that you give, you know, insurance a fair shake the way you would give a Goldman Sachs, a Morgan Stanley, a Citibank. Give us a fair shake too, because one thing that we could probably tell you is that our quality of life is very good.
Should we get into the benefits?
So let's talk about some of those benefits.
Yeah, so I can at least, so I have three little daughters. I have three daughters, and I have been able to take paternity leave because the companies I've worked for have a paternity leave program. So some with 12 weeks full pay, some with 8 weeks full pay, right? But that time is time I would otherwise be working and not have, right? When I think about the relationship building, as an underwriter, as a person that is dealing with the market or connecting with my customers and brokers, I'm going to basketball games, baseball games. You know, some ladies are going to get their nails done, right? And it's really about finding ways to think outside the box. How do I engage people and meet them where they are? It's a relationship business. And if you're not a person who likes to be around people, I get it, right? Sometimes I can be an introvert with extrovert tendencies. So if you don't want to be in front of the scenes, I think Teresa mentioned it, you can find your place behind the scenes, right? We need auditors. So whether you have an accounting background or not, if you're somebody who can digest details and understand how to move things around with some training, obviously, audit is a great place. Compliance, product development, right? You're still engaging internally, but you may not be on the front lines. So I think there's a perception that insurance is always kind of this, you know, door knocking and going up to folks and saying, hey, I want to sell you a policy that you probably can't afford. I want to some life insurance, right? And that is a necessary product that people do need, especially in underserved communities. But there, we are representing, I think, on the more the commercial side, right, where I think it's a little bit less known. And this building, the corporations and organizations in this building all need insurance, all have workers and have different levels, right? So they have a finance team, they have an accounting team, they have HR, right? So if you're thinking about HR and you want to work with, you know, in human resources, every company insurance has a human resources division, even to the point where they have talent. They have folks who are collegiate engagement specific. They have folks who are DEI specific, so diversity, equity, inclusion specific. So even when you kind of think about these headings as a comptroller, there are roles within roles. There are jobs that you don't even know the names of that are available and that you're probably best suited to. So kind of going back to some of those benefits, competitive salaries, right? So we have an unemployment rate of 2%, right? So when you get into this industry, it's like a family. It's hard to get out, right? Like you're in and you'll more than likely be able to land somewhere if you want to make a pivot. Speaking about pivots, the opportunity to grow your career, right? I don't look at this as a job. This has never been a job. This is a career where I've been able to pivot to different groups, learn different skills, add to my toolbox, and take all those things forward and compound that, right? So Teresa talked about her experience, Pam talked about her experience, and you've seen how they kind of build it on each other. And they're not probably where they thought they would be now, But the opportunities, their skill sets empowered them to get there, whether that was in one company or a few, right?
So yeah, taking opportunity, very important.
Yes. Very.
So many of the things that we did, we weren't necessarily looking for, right? But you always keep your eyes open and never say, I can't do it, right? Always say, I'm going to give it a shot.
Right. And to Kyle's point, like, we are kind of a family. Like, I think we all know each other. We walk into a room, and I make a joke. The WSIA conference just ended. It's a conference for wholesalers and carriers and retailers to connect and meet and discuss business. And my joke about it is there's nothing like hanging out with 5,000 of your closest friends or flying with them real early on a Sunday morning when you don't want anybody to see what you look like in your sweatpants. But that really is kind of how we roll, right? And so you take the opportunity, you make the leap. And you kind of know that if you put the word out, like I think I'm thinking, that these guys are going to show up, right? They're going to be there for you. And to talk about benefits, listen, I've had some of the coolest experiences in my life because of insurance. After Hurricane Sandy, our company made a large donation to the American Red Cross. I had the privilege of going to the American Red Cross to deliver that check. One of their benefactors is Trace Atkins, the country music singer, and he was their sponsor that year. So they invited all of us to a private Christmas concert at Saks. He paid for the whole thing, so he sang just for us. We were served champagne. We hung out with him as a thank you. That was really cool. I am hosting an all-employee meeting. I rented the Museum of Natural History out. Just me. Just me, just my team, just my guys. I've seen Santana, Madonna, you name it, because we do. We take those clients out. We entertain them. It's part of the business. And then we show up. We support everything, right? Yeah. So from Hurricane Sandy to, you know, the tragedies in Maui, to hosting high schools for impoverished students up, you know, in our offices and help and mentoring them and bringing them on as interns. And so you get these really cool, rewarding experiences, some of them fun and some of them just nourish your heart, right?
Well, we're a community.
Because we are. We're a community. We're a family. And then as far as work-life balance, my kids are grown. But let me tell you, I was a business development manager. I had to see my clients like 30-something times a month and manage client meetings. But in the same time, I was vice president of the PTA, and I was the Cub Scout master. And it just worked. Like, I would go do a client meeting, go do Cub Scouts, go do another client meeting, go do a PTA meeting, go do take the kids to the doctor. And it was my little circus, right? But it worked, and it was everything I needed when my kids were small. So I think we're really fortunate and blessed, again, that we have that type of supportive environment to work in.
Yeah, I think in 30 years that I've worked in the industry, I could maybe barely name five people who I've asked for help from and said no. That's very, very small number.
Yeah.
And so community is a really important thing. And I know that all companies talk about it, but we really live it. And you know what? To be fair, I met Pamela only 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, but we mesh because we have the same value system, and most of us do. Yeah. And Kyle too. I think I met you a year ago.
Yeah.
Right. So, and listen, insurance people really love to party. Okay. So that's another thing.
Where did we meet Teresa? Where did we meet Teresa?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I met them at conferences.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
but there are serious conferences with serious missions.
Yeah.
Right. So I just wanted to mention the community thing, and I think that maybe we want to see if we want to take some questions.
Yes,
because we're
definitely.
If I could just say one last thing too. So thinking about community at your level right now, there are a plethora of nonprofit organizations, right? Like APIW, right? Like NIA, that you can actually join as college students, become part of these communities, and engage and learn, volunteer with us, right? Come to our educational events. Come to panels like these.
Yeah.
Selfishly, I can plug. So I am right now, I'm on my last term of, I'm the Emerging Leaders Chair for NIA New York. So it stands for National African American Insurance Association. And what we're doing is we're kicking off our mentorship program, which we run from October to March. And we basically pair insurance executives like Teresa and Pam with students, who are interested in specific, you know, realms of the insurance industry. And that pairing happens where it's mentee-led, so you're setting up the meetings, setting the agenda, and your insurance executive is coaching you right there, lockstep with you, giving you ideas, giving you perspective, helping you really be a sounding board for what you want to do in your career. This opens up opportunities for scholarships if you're still in school, internships, apprenticeships if you don't want to be in school anymore, but you still, you know, want to pursue a career in insurance. So I implore you all, look up NIA New York, the mentorship program. If you follow me on LinkedIn, I posted it. But these are opportunities where, to getting to Teresa's point, where our community is trying to bridge the gap and provide opportunities for folks like you all to be able to join and have the resources necessary to do that. So,
yeah,
please.
I mean, in fact, in 2 weeks, I'm on the advisory board for the Business Insurance DEI Institute, and we are hosting a conference here at the Marriott Marquis on 42nd Street in the Times Square area where students can come for free. So if you are interested, I have a post and I can send you information as well. I don't know if there are free tickets left, but you know, we had like 50, I think, where we're inviting students to come and network with people like us, where we can welcome you into our community and you can just keep learning more about us. So if you're interested in that, you know, please come to that. And I also, I'm on the Asian American Insurance Network board. I'm on the IFNI board. So we are very involved in the industry. So if there's anything that you want to know about it, you know, you can feel free to reach out to us. Yes.
Thank you to Pam, Kyle, and Teresa for a wonderful presentation. We'll be sharing everyone's contact info with our speakers so they can connect with them. And with that, enjoy the rest of your Thursday afternoon. Hope it doesn't rain soon. And look forward to seeing you all tomorrow and next Friday and continue conversations on the insurance industry. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.